We're going to start in Luke, if you want to follow along. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who is said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Hallelujah. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. So Mary gets the news. And now Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And now we continue the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. Hallelujah. Ken, would you like to read for us? 8 through 21, please.
"And the shepherds were in this field, living out of doors and keeping watch by night over their flock. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they feared a great fear. Then the angel said to them, "You must not be afraid, for behold, I have good news for you, great joy, which will be for all the people. Because this day in the city of David a Savior was born for you, who is Messiah, Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find an infant wrapped and lying in a stall." Then suddenly there were with the angel a great number of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill among men." And it happened as the angels left from them into heaven, the shepherds were saying to one another, "We should now go to Bethlehem so we could see what this report is, which the Lord revealed to us." Then, hastening, they came, and they looked for Miriam and Joseph and the infant lying in the stall. And after they saw them, they made known about the message spoken to them concerning this child. And all those who heard were amazed about the things that were told them by the shepherds. And Miriam was treasuring all these words, considering them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God over all that they heard and saw, just as it was spoken to them. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ken. I love that part of the story. We've done messages on it before. I talked about it some in the last 3 weeks, and it just always amazes me. They told the whole town, and all who heard it were amazed by what the shepherds had said to them. Larry, would you pray over the word today, please?
Our dear kind Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can be here.
Yes, Lord.
We're thankful to be able to celebrate your birthday, the day that you decided to leave your glory in heaven and come down and be crucified, mocked, and suffered for our sins, what we deserve. A debt that you didn't know and a debt we couldn't pay. Lord, we're so thankful that you came to do that for us. Pray that you'll be with Randy. Have the Holy Spirit fall upon his word. Fall upon our ears to hear. We ask in your holy name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we heard much of the story of the birth of Jesus as it's told in God's word. And we've sung songs that express the joy and the excitement of the news that Jesus, the Messiah, is born. It is as though Jesus is God's gift to us, to all mankind. In the past 3 sermons and Sundays, I've been talking about Jesus as being that gift from God. He was an unexpected gift. The Jewish people were looking for their Messiah to come to them at any time. But they expected him to arrive a lot more like David did, slaying the giant Goliath and routing the Philistines, restoring their power and order over the Romans and their nation. Not as a newborn boy with his birth. This wonderful birth being announced by angels to lowly shepherds watching their flocks at night. This baby boy was not really what they wanted in a Messiah. It was what they needed, but it wasn't what they wanted. It was like receiving a pair of socks for Christmas instead of that really awesome gift that you really hoped for. Especially when we were children, we can remember those exciting days, and we hope for that. And then we opened it up, we got pajamas or socks. So the question is, as I lay it out in these other messages, do we return this gift? As we often do these days, right after Christmas. Since it wasn't really all that we wanted it to be. Or do we keep it? And then we talked about what are the attributes of a great Christmas gift. To be a great gift, this gift should be thoughtful, taken time to know the person. It should be fitting for the one who's receiving it. And it really should be costly in some significant way. Not necessarily financially, but time and effort, thoughtfulness as well. And it really should require personal sacrifice to give it. We talked about that on Sunday. And it should be the genuine article, amen? Not some imitation of the real deal. And lastly, it should be long-lasting. It should be something that lasts. Jesus is all these things.
Amen.
All these things. It is not likely that this gift of God is what we would have put on our wish list either, even though that is the gift that we all need. Again, this gift feels a little bit more like socks and t-shirts, maybe PJs. We may not get real excited about it at first, but God gave us exactly the gift that we all needed. And then as we think of Jesus as a gift from God, as with all gifts, it's important to receive the gift. Amen? So turn to Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 1, which has been kind of the theme of the verses throughout this Advent season. John chapter 1. Starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. These verses are referring to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Now look down to verses 11 through 13. He, that is Jesus, came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Yet to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. I love that. We must receive him in order to also be given this right. And so first we must receive him with gratitude. It's a free gift. We didn't pay anything for it. And honestly, sometimes there's an awkwardness that comes with receiving a gift from someone that we know we could never afford. You ever had that feeling when you get that kind of gift? You think, wow, wasn't expecting that. There's no way to ever give a similar gift in return due to just the sheer cost. And so we must acknowledge that this gift is just that. It's a gift. And it is free to receive it, even though there's no way we could ever afford it. By leaving his heavenly home and coming to earth in the human flesh, just like you and me, Jesus is that kind of gift. God has offered us all a gift that none of us could ever, ever pay for. All we can do is just receive it with gratitude. We are also to receive it with humility. As I've already said, we cannot afford this gift. We have no means by which to purchase this gift on our own. Generally, and maybe perhaps even more this year, people shop for gifts that they can afford. And in some years, again, perhaps even like this one, many people have had to come to others who are providing gifts free of charge to receive gifts because they could not afford to buy any gifts for themselves or their family. For many, it took great humility to come and receive gifts for free because they couldn't afford them. But we are all in that same position to humbly receive what God has offered us. For we could never purchase it with what we have to offer. Ephesians 2:8 tells us, for it is by grace God's favor upon you. You have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. Not by works, not by anything you can do or offer to God, so that no one can boast. No one can say, I earned this gift. I paid for it myself. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. It is indescribable because it is a gift that is totally overwhelming with generosity. Most unexpected, as we talked about in the first Sunday of Advent. It's unexpected, but it's unexpected in this way that it's so amazingly generous. So the nature of a prodigal God. You understand what prodigal means? Completely excessive. This is a gift that no one could afford. And finally, we're to receive this gift with joy. What joy to receive a gift that we can't afford and we don't deserve, but we really need it. You know, it'd be kind of like, I don't want to pick on you, Larry, but it'd be kind of like someone just came along and gave you a brand new top-of-the-line Dodge, everything you wanted on it. Nowadays, that would cost 80 grand, maybe more. And what would you do? And all you could do is receive it with joy, with gratitude, and with thanks. By this gift, we are now, we just read, sons and daughters of the Most High God. We just read in John 12 that by receiving Jesus, God has given us the right to become children of God. I love that verse. Of course, there's a lot of them in here I love, but that one just touches me so. Because it says you have a right. You know, we talk about rights, and I don't want from God what I've earned. Except that. I'll take that one. If I receive Jesus, I had the right to become a child of God. And it was not because of some decision or action that I took or you took. It was God's decision because of his love for us. Romans 8:15 tells us, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. God gave us the right to become children of God, fully adopted into his family, where we call him Dad or Daddy, because he loves us. Whatever wonderful term you use for your dad or did use for your dad, some was father, some was daddy, some was pops. My brother and I often called Dad the old man because he was a Navy man. And the old man was the captain, which is the top dog on that aircraft carrier he was on. That's who God is to us. He's that familiar dad. We've been conditioned in our culture to think that we must earn everything we get. Comes all the way back from the founding fathers, the revolution, all that. But there are some gifts that we just cannot earn and we can never, ever, ever afford. Being adopted into a family, let alone God's family, kind of captures that image. God chooses us as his children, just like parents who decide to adopt choose to call a child their very own. And that is why we receive this gift that God has offered us in Christ Jesus with joy. Think about the adopted child that was in a foster home or in some sort of another facility. And then somebody comes along and takes them home and says, you can be my child. You can be my son. You can be my daughter. What joy. He chose us even though we don't deserve it, because he knew we desperately needed it. Just like that adopted child. The gift that God is offering to all mankind, to every one of us here, is to become his adopted children. There's nothing any of us can do to earn it. No amount of money can buy it. But he has chosen us to become his children. All any of us has to do is just receive God's gift to us with gratitude, humility, and joy. As we sang earlier, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. So if you haven't received him, receive him today. And if you have received him, renew that reception. I like to renew it every day. Continue to understand, I walk in God's favor because I'm a child of God, child of the King. And when things aren't going well, read the Gospels. Did it always go well for Jesus? No. But did he ever forsake his Father? Ever. Now, we can't be quite that good, but David was not perfect, but he never forsook God of the universe. When you read the Old Testament, you see even Solomon did. So many of the kings did. So many people did. And that's why David is called what? A man after my own heart, by God himself. Don't you want God to say that about you? I pray that. Lord, help me to be a man after your own heart. And it's really not that hard, I don't think. It's the devil who tries to make it hard. We just got to trust God in all things. So receive him. Amen. Hallelujah. So now I'm singing a song, as I always do on Christmas Eve.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh, night divine. By the light of a faith serenely beaming, with glowing hearts by his sacred cradle we stand. And led by the light of a star so sweetly gleaming, here come the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings thus lay in lowly manger, in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our needs, to our weakness he's no stranger. Behold your King. Before him lowly bend, behold your King, before him bend. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voice. Says, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh, night.
What a divine night.